السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Something that all of us have in us is if a person doesn't have any anger in him, any anger at all, then this person will be coward. Will be a coward. And to have no anger, this is not something that is praiseworthy. A person has to have anger, and he has to understand where to use the anger. So this anger needs to be brought into equilibrium. There must be jatidal in the person's anger. And the person, his anger must be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when his or her anger is for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala, then the person will only show anger to the extent that will be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Is it for Allah Rabbul Izzat? Is it for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? If the anger is for my nafs, then immediately I must drink it. There is no haram drink for which you will be rewarded besides anger. If you drink it, because that anger is wrong, so it's a wrong thing, but we drink that anger, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for it. You will have great reward. So as soon as we see that this anger is for my nafs, then immediately I must drink it. So for example, if I went home, had a long day, tough day, I went home and the wife took off with me. She took off with me about something. I tried my best, but now she shouted me. I had a long day, and she gave me a long list. So I went and got everything, but maybe I bought something wrong. This morning, we were talking to an elderly person. So his respected wife currently is not well in hospital. Allah Ta'ala give us shifa'i kamila. So he is saying that she'll send me to the supermarket. I'll go and buy the thing and come. This is wrong. The one time I went back three times. So what's there to get angry about? What's there to get upset? But now if we went home and the wife told us something, we went and did the shopping also, whatever she needed, whatever, but now we made some mistake. And now she let you have it. So definitely you're going to get angry. We're not a corpse. We're not going to feel anything. We're going to feel something. So at that time, I must ask myself that I want to say something here. I want to respond, right? She's saying something. I want to respond. But this response of mine is for who? Is there any reason for me to respond in this situation? There's no reason for me to respond. It is only me. My ego took a dent. I expected her to make shabash. I expected her to appreciate all my efforts. And now she shouted me. So it's only me. Only I got affected here. Right? So there's no need for me to respond. There's no need for me to say anything. So this anger I need to drink. I must drink it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, Ramad Barakatuhu, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal on what he said. Right? It's not easy. So he says that you must swallow that anger to such an extent that she mustn't even know that you're upset. She mustn't even realize that you got upset. To that extent you must swallow it. You must still be smiling, you must still be normal, it mustn't affect you. Now that is Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. It's not an easy thing to be able to just stay normal. So just normal. It can be how hot outside, but if you got air conditioner inside, you don't feel the heat. There's no namo nisha of the heat in the masjid. Nothing, no sign of it, no asar of it, nothing. So we must have such a ruhani air conditioner inside. That no matter what the heat is of that anger, that ruhani air conditioner must come on and there must be nothing. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Hazrat gives this example that you are driving, that person cut in front of you. So now you got angry. Why this person cut in front of me? Swallow that anger. There's no need to retaliate. Now why you hooted at him? Why you hooted at him? Hazrat, when he's talking. He said, why you hooted? Why you even looked in his direction? Apne kaam karte raho. You are on your path. You are living for Allah Ta'ala. You cannot. Why you want to upset yourself now? Why you want to look at him? Take out big eyes. What's your problem? His Islam is not our responsibility. He didn't take bayat to us. So his Islam is not our responsibility. We must just carry on our path. There's no need to tell him anything. No need to even look in his direction. Hazrat always mentions, he said, we're sitting here in the majlis, we listen to everything, but if we just walk out, and just let somebody do something, we forget everything. Everything is forgotten. So this anger is such a thing that if we allow for it to ride us in the wrong places, then shaitan takes over. So we'll come back to this, how shaitan takes over. I'm going to go back to this anger, analyzing this anger. But number one, is this anger for me or is it for Allah Ta'ala? If it is for me, I must swallow it. I must not exercise it. Number two, if this anger is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it is really for Allah ta'ala, so now I need to do something. But I must not take any action while I am angry. I must not take action while I am angry. Because while I am angry, my judgment is clouded. The judgment is clouded. I am going to do the wrong thing. I am going to say the wrong thing. مثلا take one example, you're waking the sun up for Fajr namaz. He's not waking up. You're waking him up a few times. He's not waking up. He's not waking up. You shook him, you shouted, you tried some sprinkling, some pani or whatever. He's not waking up. I'm angry. Why am I angry? Am I angry because he's not listening to me? He's not listening to me. Then I'm angry for myself. I'm angry because he is now going against the command of Allah. He's not waking up for salah. He's going against the command of Allah Ta'ala. He's not waking up. I'm worried about his akhirat. What's going to happen to him? This namaz of his is going to become qaza. This is why I'm angry. So this is for Allah Ta'ala now. It's not for my nafs. It's for Allah Ta'ala. I'm angry because I'm involved in tabligh. I went for gush last night. I give the bayan. I told everybody must be paban on namaz. And now my own son is not coming. Now what the satis will see? That's why I'm angry. I got taluk with the sheikh, and now my son is not coming for namaz. Now what the people will think? So that anger is not for Allah Ta'ala. That anger is for myself, my own ego. So that anger is not for Allah Ta'ala. I mustn't even do anything. But now I'm upset that this person is breaking Allah's command. Right? And I'm worried about his akhirat. So it's working me up. I'm getting upset. So this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that anger is commendable. That anger is good. And now I have to do something about it. But I mustn't do anything while I'm angry. I need to go and think. I must calm down and I must think. I must think now. What is the right cause of action here? This child, what is this child's age? He's 7 years old. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I must teach him to read namaz. So now I'm waking him up, he's not waking up. I need to come, I need to reprimand him, need to sit him down, scold him, and tell him that he has to read namaz. If he's not going to read namaz, then I'm going to take away this luxury of his or that benefit of his. He's 10 years old, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I must punish him. If it means giving him 1-2 shots also, I must give him 1-2 shots. Now, he's 20 years old. He's 20 years old. But I followed the tarteeb. From 7 years old, I started making him read namaz. 10 years old, if he wasn't reading namaz, I gave him 1-2 shots also, reprimanded him, chauked him, in a calm manner. Not as an oppressor. In a calm manner, with a dard. I followed all that. Now he's 20 years old, and he missed his Fajr namaz. But now I need to deal with him differently, right? He's an adult now. He's baligh, he's an adult, he's responsible for his own actions. Right? Now if I'm going to go and take a stick and say, no, you missed the namaz, now we give 1-2 shots. Now we may have world war in the house now. Now if I get angry and I tell him that you get out of the house, is that going to bring any faida? Is that going to bring any benefit? So now I need to take a different approach. My late father, Allah Ta'ala for his qabr with Noor. So at that time we were living in Indonesia when this incident happened. I don't know what musti I must have been making to make so much musti Can't remember what must be. So he must have shouted me, he must be talking to me, maybe I'm not listening. So what he did, he phoned Hazrat Dr. Mangera Sahib. So he told Dr. Sahib, listen, I've got a patient for you. You bring him and come. You need to speak to him. So then he took me to Dr. Sahib. So we went into Dr. Sahib's surgery. In the surgery, so my father is telling Dr. Sahib, whatever the complaint was, he said, you need to speak to him, talk to him. So Dr. Sahib also is very witty. So Dr. Sahib told my father, it is his patient confidentiality. So you go away now, I'll talk to him. So this is an approach that a parent can take. That I'm talking to this son of mine. He's not listening to me. He's an adult now. He's big. I need to treat him like an adult. So let me take him into the company of the pious. Maybe they will be able to speak to him. They will make dua for him. I can start some ta'lim in the house. Read some fazail as-salah. Read some warnings on the missing of namaz. Make him read. Speak to him. So then he will change. So it's a different approach. But everything that I'm going to do now, because I'm doing it for Allah Ta'ala, because this anger is for Allah Ta'ala, so I'm going to do it in a manner that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. My anger can be for Allah Ta'ala. But if I am going to react in a manner that is not pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, because my anger has clouded my judgment, then of what faida is that going to be? We take one example. In the time of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was one, during one war, the battle is taking place, so there was one person from the Kufar army. He was cutting through the ranks of the Muslims, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And he was the cause of many Sahaba radiallahu anhu becoming shaheed also. And eventually, one Sahabi timing him, and he got him now. Got him, this person is down, and he is now about to finish him off. So that person read the kalima. But this sahabi, now in the heat of the moment, as we will say, he still continued. He finished him off. So another sahabi, but this person read kalima. How you did that? The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, they were very honest people, sincere people. So when they went back to Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they went and explained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam what happened. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahabi, said that, did you do like this? He says, yes. So why did you do? He said, this person, he was just reading the kalima to save his life. He killed so many people, he was doing everything. Now just to save his life, he read the kalima. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, you open the heart and check. You open the heart and you check. In other riwayat it comes that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, so what are you going to do now on the day of Qiyamah when the kalima is going to come? In other words, if this person had sincerely brought iman, now what job are you going to give? So this is why these examples happened among Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum as a lesson for us. Allah Ta'ala made these things happen among Sahaba as a lesson for us. So we must not act when we are in anger. I'm not saying the Sahabi acted in anger. I'm talking about us. We take a lesson that when we are in anger, we mustn't act. Rather, calm down and see what is the correct procedure, what is the right thing to do here. And if we are unsure of what to do, then seek advice from our elders. What must I do? This is the situation I am in. What should I do now? So this anger, if we don't check it and we don't control it, then what will happen? Shaitan takes over. Shaitan takes over, and then a person goes down a wrong road. When Shaitan takes over, person goes down a wrong road. So many things happen sometimes. The person is angry, and in that anger he issues talaq. Sometimes 3 talaq he has given in a state of anger. Our Hazrat Mohammed Fateh Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to mention this. That now the person is angry, having argument, whatever, angry, now issued the 3 talaqs. Now after that, they are going around fatwa shopping to try and make the 3 into 1. So Hazrat used to say, we got no trinity yet. It's not 3 into 1. 3 is 3. But Hazrat mentioned that one person, he in this angry state, now he gave his wife the 3 talaqs. And then, now they came by Hazrat. So he's telling Hazrat, he's saying, but Maulana, you know, I was angry at the time. I was angry at the time. I didn't mean it. I was angry at the time. So Hazrat asked him, who gives talaq in happiness? Who gives talaq in happiness? But why you want to act at that time? You should wait. Think it through. And then do the right thing. So many marriages have broken. So many partnerships have broken. So many family ties have been broken. All because of ghussa, because of anger. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La taghdab." You don't get angry. In other words, don't exercise that anger in the wrong places. And even if it is in the right place, don't exercise it incorrectly. You're coming to the masjid. That's the right thing you're doing. Coming to the masjid. You're driving through a residential area. And you're driving at 160 kilometers per hour. Why? No, I'm going for namaz. I'm going for a good thing. But the manner in which you're going, is it right? You're putting so many other people's lives at risk. The manner in which you're going is not right. So although you're doing a right thing, but the manner in which you're doing it, this is incorrect. So like that, the anger sometimes may be for the correct reason, but the manner in which it is being exercised is incorrect. Sometimes can be an ustad also. An ustad, you know, there was one anim, he is now principal of a Darul Uloom in Chatsworth. Chatsworth, I think it's in Chatsworth or Phoenix. I can't get the name. Nomania. Darul Nomania. So this the principal of that Darul Uloom, initially when they went to that area, so they had to do a lot of groundwork. So there was one lady who was like a senior person in that community. So they made effort on her through their masturat, etc. And eventually she brought iman. She brought iman. And when she brought iman, she brought her family. And so many of her family members also, they became believers. Right? So her one grandchild enrolled in the Hibs class. This is after a few years now, he enrolled in the Hibs class. And that lady there, she became like the main person for the ladies' ta'aleem and all that, you know, in the area. So this youngster joined the Hibs class. After some time, they noticed that this old lady now, she stopped coming for the ladies' ta'aleem. So initially they thought that, okay, maybe she's not well or something, out of town or whatever. In the second week also, she didn't come. Third week also, there's no sign of her. So then they decided that, no, you know what, we need to go and visit this home. You know, Jawan brothers, now they'll go and visit the house and go and check what's the problem, what happened. So when they went to that house, so that lady, she said, no, I'm not a believer anymore. I'm not a mu'min anymore. So they asked her, kya hua? What's the problem? She said that I can't follow a religion the divine scripture of which children who follow that religion need to be beaten up to be taught it. So what type of a religion is that? That the divine book, it is the book of Allah Ta'ala, the children who are being taught that book, they must be beaten up to be taught that book. I can't follow that kind of religion. So the, whatever the situation may have been, but the child went home and grew marks and all that. Sometimes the ustad, you have to give one, maybe a little bit punishment or something. I'm not saying much hit, but maybe the ustad have to give some punishment, some detention, some steps have to be taken. But to beat the child up, leave marks on the child's body and all of that, that is out of ussa, out of anger. The ustad has lost control of himself. So that anger is not for Allah Ta'ala. That anger is not for Allah Ta'ala. That anger, now we got angry, we hitting. The parent sometimes is hitting the child. This is anger. Anger has taken over. Sometimes we are an employer, right? The employer. And the employee did something, some error, something wrong, whatever. And at that time we are very upset. We can't make a decision at that time. Like you fired, you this, you that. No, you can't make a decision at that time. One day, I was in one meeting, right? And one person who had some gripes in that meeting, so he started, you know, some people, they talk like this. He say, yeah, I went by this company for work, and by that company, all our Muslim brothers, nobody gave me a job. I went by the Hindu person, that person gave me a job. But now, he didn't know that the company is owned by a Muslim. The Hindu is the manager, the company is owned by the Muslim. And the Muslim person was sitting in the meeting. So now they got into an argument. That person is telling him, what you talking? You working for me. They got into an argument. This person said something, that person said something. Next thing, that person told him, like, you fired them. He's angry now, he's worked up. Now he wants to show his shan, you know? He's the boss. Now, you're not thinking, you're firing this man over what? Nothing happened in the work. He got some misunderstanding, he got his own personal problems, psychological problem in his head. He needs some help, right? Now you're firing him over what? Now you're not sitting back to think this man got a wife, he got children, he got expenses. Now you're just firing him like this now. Now what's going to be the repercussion? You're not thinking things through. If you allow yourself to calm down and then you think nicely, and then after thinking, then you make a decision, a calculated decision, then inshallah there'll be khair in that decision. You make mashwara, whatever, and you make a decision. You need to punish your child also. You first think, what was the crime? What did he do? How many times did he make this mistake? Have I reprimanded him on this before? Then you can say, right now, this is a step I need to take. Now, I finished speak to him, so now he needs some punishment or something like that. So this ghussa, if we don't watch out, then it has devastating consequences, right? Now different people, in their ghussa, they react differently. Generally, those of us that outwardly, we are adopting the garb of pious people. Allah Ta'ala make us from amongst the pious, right? But outwardly, we are adopting the garb of the pious people. Or we are associated with some effort of deen or something. So then, outside our homes, we behave. Outside with the musallis, we are very good. With our satis, we are very good. With our peer bhais, we are very good. In front of the sheikh, you know, we sit with a lot of adab and everything. So we show a different side to ourselves. But when we go home, then sometime we turn into something else, you know. And sometimes, you know, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say, you know, in the absence of your Shaykh, listen to the words of your enemies. Right? Because enemies are not going to praise you. Enemies will take out your fault. So they'll help us to make our Islam. Right? You listen to what your enemy is saying, and then see what the enemy is saying is correct. So I know I need to rectify myself. Right? And if what he's saying is incorrect, then make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that that's not my problem. And if there's no enemies around, then listen to the wife. Listen to her properly. For the wife is our critic. The wife is a critic. The wife is a critic not because she hates the husband. You see, the wife, she wants the child must be, you know, neat and tidy. Right? Because, you know, if you really want to see this thing, you must see these elderly ladies whose husbands have become lachar. You know, if you got an elderly lady in your family and her husband has become, you know, he's now, what's the word? He's bedridden now. He can't do things for himself. You know? He's muhtaj on others to help him. You see that old lady, how she will look after him. She will clean his moustache, she will clean his beard, she will make sure he's top. If anybody is coming to visit, put him right before they come in the room. The bed must be neat, tidy. She takes pride in that. This is my family, this is my husband. Earlier on, we were listening, one elderly man was telling us one incident. He said that the father who owned the business, so he made some wrong decisions, you know. So the lady, she had some business acumen in her. So now the husband was in a problem, his business is in debt now, in a hole. So she called the accountant. You know, just check this thing out. So the accountant saw this thing, and the accountant told her, say, Ben, just close this thing up. You are never going to make this shop is finished. You are just in a loss here. There's nothing you can do. You know? She told that accountant, she said, never. She said, never. I'm not saying it's right for a lady to be in the shop and all that. I'm just giving this example to understand a lady sometimes, what pride she takes in her family. You know? So, the name of the business was the husband's name. You know, in those days, people used to keep the name. So she told the accountant that, you think I'm going to allow my husband's name to go down? My husband's name. And then she made dua to Allah. That, Ya Allah, you take us out of this problem, let us pay everybody out and make the asbab for us to go for Hajj also. And that person is telling us, it happened exactly like that. That they worked, she was doing some sewing and doing things and whatever. He kept the shop going, she was complimenting the shop with whatever mehnat she was making, and eventually they paid everybody out. Paid all the debts, and then Allah Pak gave them barakat and they went for Hajj also. But my point is that if our wife points out our fault, she's not trying to show that she is more sharper and all that. No. She points the thing out because to her, she wants her husband now to be, you know, her husband must be their best. Her children must be their best. So listen to what the wife is saying. You must be heard this example, that one buzurg, the whole town used to praise him and call him a buzurg. The wife used to always insult him. Wife always tell him hurtful things. So one day he said, no, I'll show this auntie who I am. She doesn't understand my maqam. So what he did, he flew past the house. On one musalla, karamati had, he flew past the house. So later on, when he came home, so she's telling him, she said, everybody is calling you a buzurg. I don't know what kind of buzurg you are. Today I saw a buzurg. One buzurg went flying here over the house. So he told her, Begum Sahiba, that was yours truly. That was me. So, oh, it was you. That's why you have been crooked. So don't expect praises from the wife. The wife, she will criticize. She is a critic. She will criticize. But the husband must listen to what she is saying. Sometimes what she is saying is correct. What she is saying is correct. So then we can rectify ourselves. We can put ourselves right. Sometimes we get consumed with what we are doing. And we don't understand. See, you get children, you know, in the madrasa. The one fellow is punching that fellow. Give him one shot. That fellow ignores it. Give him another shot. A little bit harder one. You see, if I stop it now. Give him another harder one. Now, if that fellow retaliates, if he gets angry and anything, I was playing with you, man. Oh, what are you so serious about now? I was playing with you. You can play because you're not feeling the pain. That fellow is feeling the pain. So you say you're playing, but you're causing pain. Like that, there are a lot of things we're doing in our life, which we think it's fine. But the people who are feeling the pain, they will realize that what we're doing is causing pain. We won't realize. So when they point it out to us, then we must listen. Listen. There was one family. The father, you know, in the old days, everybody had a diary. Now everything is on this phone. People used to have a diary. They got a meeting, this meeting, that meeting, whatever. So they have a receptionist, you know. The receptionist will put now of this one's appointment. So this person was a doctor. He was a doctor. And now he got so many appointments and he's going hospital round. Weekend too, he's going to do this round, that round. When he come home, then he's too tired. So his child wanted some time, you know, with the father. So the child phoned the surgery and made an appointment. So now the receptionist noted it down. Certain patient is coming at certain time, gave the time. So the child went to the surgery. Gave one another name, came to the surgery. So now his name was called up. He went there, now the father saw him. What you doing? He said, no, I got an appointment. I got an appointment. Your appointments are half an hour to 45 minutes. So I just came to spend this time with you. I'll pay for it. I got my ED, spending everything. I'm going to pay for the appointment. But then the father realized, see, I'm falling short. I'm thinking, I'm so busy, I'm working for who? This is the father's famous line. Who I'm working for? Who I'm working for? You're short of anything. But sometimes they want your time. They want you. They're appreciating everything else, but they want you also. So we must listen to what they're saying, because they're feeling the pain. We're not feeling the pain, so we won't realize. So when they say something, instead of getting angry, feel, we must listen what they're saying. If what they're saying is correct, then rectify ourselves. So I was saying that different people react differently in anger. So outside, we make bardash. Our friends, sometimes they can say the worst of things. We make bardash. That person is doing something irritating me, I'll make bardash. But at home, I become something else. At home now, I'm snappy now. At home, Sometimes the wives today tell us, are you in such a foul mood? The children, you snapping at the children, you snapping at me. But your friend phone, kya hua? Your friend phone, you hold it. Everything changed. Instantly everything changed. When we trying to talk to you, you say, I'm stressed. You know, I had a heavy day, you know, a lot of calm now, you know, very stressed out. Just take it easy, quiet, you know, I don't want to talk anymore. But when the friend phone, khalas, now I can entertain the call immediately. So they're observing these things. Observing these things. So the reaction, we're talking about the reaction in anger. So different people, they react differently, right? Some people, they will react, they are like a volcano. A volcano that has erupted. So they will shout. Sometimes, unfortunately, vulgarity. And Allah forbid that the person raises his hand on his wife. Person hits his wife. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever hit any of the ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never hit anyone for personal reasons. Never ever. But today you find so many cases, man is hitting his wife. And one person was hitting his wife. So, asking her, what's the problem? She's like this, she's like that, she's like that. All the complaints, you know. And not only one time, hit her again. So eventually, told him that, see, bhai, she's so bad. Nothing good in her. Give her talaq, let her go. Divorce her, let her go. You think I'm going to make the arsh of Allah Pak shake? I don't know where this thing came out from. They quote it as a hadith also, you know. A lot of people that quote it, it's not a hadith. But they say now, Allah's arsh will shake if you give a talaq. So, the time when you're hitting her, then you're not worried about what's happening, how angry Allah Pak is getting with you. But to do something that is bad, but permissible, there you're saying, you don't want to make Allah's arsh. So this anger takes a person so much that he's hitting his wife. So many ladies today, but this is happening in the ummah, not amongst kuffar. So many ladies today are taking out protection orders. That husband who she married, if she thought now that this person, Allah Ta'ala has put him there to look after me, he is my mahram, he is going to protect me, take care of me with the help of Allah Ta'ala. Now if she's taking out a protection order against that person, see from where to where we went. And sometimes neck people, what we think neck person, but they are hitting their wives. So some people react like that. And then some of us, we don't react in that manner. We don't react in that manner. So what we do? We just keep quiet. Keep quiet, but look like a popo. You keep quiet. Keeping quiet is one thing, it's very good. Keeping quiet is good. But who said must look like a popo? Like now, you had for breakfast, lunch and supper lemon juice. Now you say you're keeping quiet, but so upset. And just make out noise. Then we start talking one word. One word answers, you know. We won't talk, we won't make conversation. If she asks something, just one word. Like that. And then if we bichara, we don't know how to get ourselves around in the house, right? So then we use the children. We talk to the children. We won't talk. Now why is it that with other people we can make bardash? But at home, we get so angry, so worked up. And sometimes this silent treatment and all can continue for days, weeks. can continue. Right? Why is it like that? See, just remember, Shaitan makes more effort there. Shaitan makes more effort in the house between the husband and wife. Outside is not too worried. He makes more effort here inside. Because if this inside goes kharab, the outside will definitely be kharab. This is why there is one riwayat that Shaitan, he puts his takht, you know, on the ocean, and all the shayateen, they come there to croak card now and explain what they accomplished. So somebody will say that I caused somebody to steal. Alright, teacher, you did okay. I caused somebody to backbite, I caused somebody to commit zina, I caused somebody to take some intoxicant, whatever the shayateen, that's their kam, so they'll be giving all those reports. And then one shaitan, he says, I caused one husband and wife to get divorced. I caused a breakup between a husband and wife. Now shaitan gets very happy. Shaitan is very happy. That particular devil said, you did something. Because if you cause a problem there, that problem don't just die. Families get broken. The amount of ghibat gets spoken. Bohtan. So much things. So many evils carry on. So this silent, when we go with silent, then what happens? Our mind becomes a workshop for the devil. Now he starts putting funny things in my mind. This woman here now, I'm doing so much here. I come home. This is the type of treatment I get. The fruit shop, that lady over there, she's smiling at me. I think tomorrow I should go fruit shop again. See, the mind now, shaitan starts, this woman is not appreciating me, behaving like this. I'm just going. Some people, they have even went and ended up in filthy places. Filthy places they went and ended up because angry with the wife. The man is staying angry for 3-4 weeks. He got a need, right? So now where he's going to fulfill that need? So now shaitan tells him, yeah, no, it's not your fault. She's acting like that. Now what are you going to do? You majbur, now what are you going to do? Deception of the devil. So that kind of reaction also is no good. Yes, one is that stage what Hazrat Abdul Haq Magda Sahib is speaking about, Allah give us tawfiq. But if we haven't reached there, we're getting angry, we're showing we're angry. Why must stay angry for so long? We are the man in the house. We must have the art of putting things right. The fellow who's courting, when he's courting, that girl say no. He is boasting with his face. She's playing hard to get. Yeah, I did like this. I did like that. I melted her. But after we get married, all the skills went away. For haram, we can use the skill. After we get married, where we're supposed to use the skill, now there, we don't have the skill anymore. She's very upset. She sent you one, two nasty messages and all that. So alright, don't go to the florist by. From your front yard, break one flower and take it. Go and give one chocolate or something. She must melt. All the skills we... And today is gone cheap, man. You can send one artificial flower on the WhatsApp. Very easy to send flowers. It has the same effect. So the man needs to think, how I must put this thing right. That he got the skill. Allah gave him the brain to do that. She is naqis. Her brain is naqis. She's getting upset for silly reasons. She's saying silly things. Why I must keep the environment in the house like that? No, I must put it right. I must put it right. I must melt her. I must put it right. I must show her and make her happy. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. See, wallahi, this family unit is a very important thing. If the family unit is right, then the flowers that are growing in that home, they grow also with a stable mind. But if in that house all the time is jagra, no, it is like a tense situation all the time in that house, right? Then the children growing up in that home, they are also affected. And wallahi, one child in the maktab years ago, I knew the family, the mother and father, they were always fighting. Naked people, mother was in farda, father in kurta dari, father is a namazi, everything. But at home, they're always fighting. Arguing, fighting, bickering, husband not talking to wife, wife not talking to husband. This child was in the maktab. It was a young child in the maktab. The child mentioned to his friend that, you know, I am just going to go and find some tablets and just take a whole bottle of tablets and die. I can't take this thing now. Now some children will talk it out, some won't talk it out. Some will get involved in wrong company. Some will get involved in wrong things because the family unit is not strong. So the child will be looking outside. But this is happening a lot to our children. And so many homes are breaking. And wallahi, those children that are coming from broken homes, they too are broken. They too are broken. This, you don't have time, it's not time for storytelling, but so many children that have come from broken homes, they have a, you know, a very challenging time, very challenging time. So we must try to make our family unit strong. This ghussa, put it one side. It's a tool of shaitan. Don't get angry for nafsani reasons. Let there be a wonderful atmosphere in our homes. Let our children grow up in a stable environment. This will be good for their deen also. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. The Maulana said we must make some dhikrullah. The dhikrullah is something you make on your own. That's the best. You must make your dhikr on your own. Every day you must make zikr on your own. So sometime the Buzrugani Deen, the Mashaykh, they have some zikr majalis. The reason for that is to teach us how to make zikr. That is not the objective, that now you must every time have zikr majalis. Sometime you'll get some alim or something is having a zikr majalis. But the zikr majalis is ta'liman, is to teach and to get people into a habit of making zikr. Today hardly we are making zikr. Hardly we are taking Allah Ta'ala's name. So this is why sometimes these zikr majalis are held, so that we get into the habit of making zikrullah. Otherwise we are not taking Allah Pak's name. So we will make zikr for a few minutes, and thereafter we will make dua inshaAllah. So the azan goes at 25 to azan. अल्लाह अल्लाह कैसा प्यारा नाम है आशिकों का मीना और जाम है अल्लाह जन जनान हो ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When we are saying La ilaha illallah, our Hazrat Imam Rasulullah rahmatullah alayhi used to explain, and many other mashayikh, they explain that the nafs, this nafs is seated around the stomach area. Different books, some say it more to the left, right, all that, but around that is in the stomach area. So you must start there. La ilaha. So all this filth from the nafs, all the love for the world, the love for wealth, this anger, this jealousy, all our evil. So take it out. You must think that we are taking it out. The kalima can take out kufr from a person. A person can be a kafir for 30, 40, 50 years. One time he reads the kalima, the whole kufr is out. So this evil that we have in us, why can't the kalima take it out? The barakat of the kalima. Allah Ta'ala does everything. So you say, La ilaha. Ilaha, all this filth we throw it away. And then, illallah, you go to the heart. But in my heart must be only Allah. Only Allah Ta'ala I want in my heart. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the other dhikr, our mashayikh prescribe generally is to say illallah. Illallah. Only Allah. Only Allah. So when we are making the dhikr of illallah, we must negate all asbab, all means. The means is not drink. Food doesn't satiate me. Water doesn't quench me. Allah Ta'ala is doing it. My business is not providing for me. My job is not providing. Allah Ta'ala is providing. So when you read illallah, so you concentrate on your heart and remove all asbab. Musabbibul asbab. He is doing everything, not the asbab. Asbab is not doing anything. Illallah, 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 illallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the other dhikr we must make is Ismi Zat, Allah Ta'ala's name, Allah. It's Allah's name. So sometimes the mashayikh, they tell us to read Allahu Allah. In the old days, not in the old days, even now, in lot of the khankas, lot of the mashayikh, as soon as a person goes, so they prescribe for him to make bara tasbih. So bara tasbih meaning he must make two tasbihs of La ilaha illallah. Then he must make four tasbih of illallah. Then he makes six tasbihs of Ismi Zat. So some mashayikh, they say that the first two tasbihs say Allahu Allah. Allahu Allah. Allahu Allah. And four tasbihs Allah. Just Allah. 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 So that is already 12. But then they prescribe one more tasbih of Ism-e Zat, but you say Allah, Allah, full literal, but Allah. So this used to be a basic zikr. Today's time, the mashayikh, they prescribe even less. Some mashayikh, they say just one tasbih, half tasbih, even less. So whatever the shaykh prescribes, the person must do that. But if a person don't have a shaykh, it don't mean he can't make zikr. Some people, they say, no, you need permission to make zikr. You must get permission to make zikr. And people want to take bay'at to get permission to make zikr. That's not the object of bay'at. Bay'at is to make islah, not to get permission to make zikr. So if you want to make zikr, one tasbih la ilaha illallah, one tasbih illallah, one two tasbihs Allah, Allah, you don't need no permission for that. Yeah, when they talk about the permission, those people that time are making 100,000 of this and 200,000 of that. Now not everybody can handle that. You have to work your way up. So then they say you need permission for that. But to make dhribat zikr, third kanima, fourth kanima, durud sharif, at least 300 durud sharif we should be reciting minimum every day. Istighfar at least 100 times we should be making astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. So this ism-e zat, when we are taking Allah Ta'ala's name, then we must try to picture Allah's name is written in our heart. Allah Ta'ala's name is written in our heart. But all our gunas, black dots are on our heart. When we take Allah Ta'ala's name, this heart is getting purified. And now Allah Ta'ala's name is starting to shine in my heart. All the black dots are coming out. Allah Ta'ala's name is shining in my heart. Then the Buzrugan, they say, now as you make the zikr, now you must think that your limbs are making zikr. Every organ of yours is saying Allah. As the oxygen is coming into the blood, going through your heart to give oxygen and blood in your body, the noor of Allah Ta'ala's name is going in your body. Then everything around you also is saying Allah, Allah. So by thinking like this, it has a different effect and it holds our concentration also while we are making dhikrullah. Allah, 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 Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluh wa laka ash-shukru kulluh wa ilayka yarji'u al-amru kulluh. La nuhsi sana'an alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Aslih lana sha'nana kullah wa la takilna ila anfusina tarfata 'ayn. فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وخطيئة. اللهم ربنا يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا كريم يا غفور الرحيم يا رؤوف الرحيم يا أرحم الراحمين يا راحم المساكين يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام والعزة التي لا ترام نسألك يا الله يا رحمن بجلالك ونور وجهك والله forgive our sins O Allah. يا الله we have committed many many sins O Allah. Major sins, minor sins. We committed sins in the brightness of day, in the darkness of night.
knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally. Ya Allah, certain sins we are committing repeatedly, despite knowing what we're doing is wrong, O Allah. Ya Allah, but we are turning to you. We can only turn to you. Only you are Ghafurur Rahim. Only you are Ghaffarur Dhunub. Only you are Sattarul Uyub. Our beloved Allah, we begging of you. You forgive each and every one of us, O Allah. Forgive each and every sin that we have committed, O Allah. Ya Allah, wipe out each and every black dot from our heart, O Allah. Erase every sin from our Nama-e Amal, O Allah. Ya Allah, give us Hidayat, O Allah. Give us Hidayat, O Allah. Let this be the turning point in our lives, O Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to adopt a life that is in accordance with the Shariat, with the Sunnah of our beloved Rasul Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, what life is gone, is gone. We cannot bring back a single moment. Ya Allah, but from this moment onwards, let us be in your obedience, O Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with taqwa, O Allah. Bless us with akhlaq-e-hamida, O Allah. Remove from us all the razaid, O Allah. Ya Allah, especially this anger, O Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to control our anger, O Allah. Ya Allah, let us only get angry for your pleasure, O Allah. Ya Allah, let us only exercise this anger in a manner that is pleasing to you, O Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our parents, O Allah. Forgive our asatiza, O Allah. Forgive our mashayikh, O Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our spouses, O Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our children, O Allah. Forgive our family members, O Allah. Our friends, O Allah. Those whose haq is upon us. Those whose ihsan is upon us. Those who have asked us to make dua for them, O Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all the marhumin, marhumat, O Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah of our beloved Rasul Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا وجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى يا الله the ummah is suffering in so many places, O Allah, in Gaza, O Allah, in Sudan, O Allah, in Somalia, O Allah, Ya Allah, so many other places. Ya Allah, you come to the aid and the assistance of the ummah, O Allah. Ya Allah, aid and assist the mujahideen, O Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, accept all the works of deen that are taking place. All those that are making khidmat of deen within the parameters of the Shariat, you accept it, you take it from strength to strength, O Allah. Ya Allah, some people are suffering in war-torn countries, poverty-stricken countries, disaster-stricken countries. Ya Allah, and so many of us, we are suffering, O Allah, in materially bombarded countries, O Allah. Guna bombarded countries, O Allah. Every side there is fitna, O Allah. We are getting caught up in so many different types of gunas, O Allah. Ya Allah, you protect us. Ya Allah, you guide us, O Allah. Give us tawfiq to make mukammal islah, O Allah. Bring us on sirat-i-mustaqim. Bring our children on sirat-i-mustaqim. Ya Allah, make us all yours and you become ours, O Allah. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء ونسألك برد العيش بعد الموت ونسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين Good minute for Azan. I was just mentioning to a few friends earlier on that Alhamdulillah, with the effort of our ulama, etc. So many naked people, when they are having their walimas and things, so now they are not going to the hall and, you know, doing a simple thing at home.
But unfortunately, in the families, you get different people with different backgrounds involved in different things. So sometimes now you're having a worry mana, you're inviting the family to come there. Now those people that are not used to dressing appropriately and all, they come like that. Now if a lady comes there, her neck is open, her hair is open, her leg is open. Now even other ladies are not supposed to look at her, although you got them separate. But even those ladies are not supposed to look at her. And all on your expense, you're accommodating for this. So I said, I see some people, the modern kind people, that have these big, big functions, they hire big, big halls and castles and don't know what and what places to have their function. So in their functions, they have a dress code. So all must come dressed casual. All must come dressed smart. So all must come dressed tuxedo. From all different dress codes they have. Now, if they can put those sharait for their wrong, then why we can't put this sharait for our right? So we put a condition, we'll be having this walima at home, simple, the dress code. The men must be dressed like this, woman must be dressed like this. I don't know how muftis must advise us. It's just a thought that came to my mind. That sometimes we're having this function, we're taking care, everything is right. But now the people that are coming there, how they are dressed, what they are doing, and we are allowing for it in our homes or wherever. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.